Hey, it's Mike Valenti. Did you know the Valenti Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valenti Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Well, you heard it here first. That's a new voice. Yeah. That's a great radio voice you got there, Brendan. How you doing?
Glad to be here.
Turn the mic on there. Yeah.
It is on.
Oh, okay. It was
Greg's
fault.
Oh, yeah. Rookie. That's how we treat rookies around here.
He was ready.
Yeah. Keep talking, and we'll just keep turning you off.
So we'll be hearing you in the mornings now.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting started today, so very glad to be here.
Hey, welcome to the team. It's exciting to have a new team member.
Your background, for people that don't know, you're an MSU guy?
Yeah. Graduated Michigan State in 2023. Moved away for a little bit, but back home here in Michigan, living with the parents right now. So
is that why you put your chair down so low?
Well, that's courtesy advice of Luke Sloan, the veteran at the station.
I was making a big brother joke.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I know I am used to looking down on you guys, so.
You do that naturally. I mean,
yes, I do.
Giant.
In so many ways.
Oh, stop it. Well,
Brendan, we're happy to have you on board.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
All right. Let's get back into the Tigers. You're still proud of yourself over here. Heather's pumping got another Spartan around here.
Yeah,
that's fine. Yeah, it'll just make that week so much more fun.
It will.
Let's get back to the people. Bob in Dearborn. Bob, you're on 97.1.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up?
Morning, Bob.
I was just saying, the Tigers this Friday, we need a moment that no one in Detroit is ever going to forget for the next 20 years. Like, I'm talking like a Rajay Davis grand slam home run against the Athletics on the anniversary game. Something like that. Like that Kerry Carpenter three-run home run last year was meaningful, but we didn't win the series, so it doesn't matter. But we need something that is going to be impactful and remembered for the next two decades if we want to win this game. We need something, maybe a Scooble perfect game, something like that.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Are
you calling your shot?
I'm calling it right now, man. Give me Colt Keith home run, give me Kerry Carpenter two home runs, and give me Gleyber Torres cycle.
Oh, wow. We got a perfect game, a cycle, and a multi-home run game by multiple guys.
The guy calls for a moment and then says you're going to get three moments.
I want it.
Bob, hey, I like where your head's at.
This is good stuff. Look, I think Kerry's probably the best bet to have a big moment, just given the matchup and given that he likely leads off and he'll get a ton of chances in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be anybody, really. I mean, this team is kind of a motley crew. They've done it the hard way. They're not a murderer's row of late, and it could be any of these guys. But you just need to give Scooble something. Like, Kerry Carpenter, two home runs, I'll settle for one, right? A Kerry Carpenter, 2-3-run blast could be all the difference on Friday night. Throwing Colt Keith, sure, why not?
Mm-hmm. That would be a hell of a night. I mean, first of all, a perfect game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, there shouldn't be a pitch count. It should just be when he loses effectiveness.
Sure. Yeah. But if he never loses effectiveness.
He never leaves the game.
Yeah.
Is Mize available?
I wouldn't think so, no.
He'd be the last one. The one that wouldn't be.
Yeah, I think he'd be the only guy not available. I don't think he got the off day today.
I don't see a world where they would put in Flaherty unless it went massive extra innings.
Yeah, it's Scooble in the bullpen. Get him home.
Yeah.
Scooble, Finnegan, Vest.
Well, ideally.
Don't forget it. I mean,
ideally it's just Scooble. But yes, if you need to go to the bullpen, it's those
sure,
two.
Yeah, that's just Scooble. But, and it would be interesting because Melton only threw 35 pitches. You think he's still?
He would be available.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, throw Melton in there. There's something I love about seeing him on the mound.
He has, someone said he's got like a little excitement. Bit of a JV edge to him. Not saying he's Justin Verlander, right. But like there's a bit of a persona on the mound.
Yeah, it kind of feels like that. Yeah.
Now, I don't want to see him because I don't want to have to use him because I don't want to have to need him because really feel like he's only coming in if Scooble doesn't get you at least seven.
Right, yeah, he's the guy that you want it for at least two.
Right, I don't want to use him because it's in extras or because Scooble couldn't get deep enough into the game.
But if it's let's just say it's 2-1 coming out of the seventh, you go.
I'm just going based on where the order is, Vest, Finnegan, Finnegan, Vest.
Yeah, probably.
And if it goes extras, then I'll figure it out from there.
Yeah. I'm not sure Scuba will see seven in this. I think the way he should approach the game is to take on the, I know it's an old bit, but kind of more of the crafty. He needs to paint edges. This lineup has hit him, you know, more than most lineups in the league. It's a deep lineup. They're, you know, I expect higher pitch counts.
They're also, we've talked about their deeper lineup. They don't have guys who are like extreme platoon. So there's no like pocket for him to kind of exhale and get a couple easy outs.
Right.
They're going to make him work.
Yeah. And
I mean, the strike zone's going to matter. You mentioned like painting. The strike zone was atrocious in game one of the series.
Yeah.
I mean, you just hope he doesn't end up getting squeezed at any point.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, you want to see it for both sides, right? You want to see an honest strike zone. The challenge is there. And obviously Tarek Skubal sees it, right? He hasn't gotten a win against this team this year. It's where his baseball, well, not necessarily where it originated, but a large part of his baseball story began right there.
There's a full circle element of it.
Yeah. I mean, he played college baseball there. That's where he had Tommy John. You know, it seems like things are in the cards for the Tigers to get a win tomorrow night outside the realm of being on the field. And then you got this whole thing if you play Toronto where the Red Wings are playing Toronto Saturday and Monday and the Tigers will be playing Toronto Sunday and Monday. You had to have the Tigers going directly against the Lions on Sunday night at 8 o'clock. I mean, it's so appetizing.
It's kind of a sports solstice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything happening all at once. Like Sunday night, they will be like identical, right? Like 8 o'clock start time for the ALCS and Sunday night football.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably be at 8:08 on Fox. It's going to be Fox versus NBC, I think, unless they're still putting it on FS1.
I'd imagine it's Fox if it's Sunday night.
Yeah.
But look, it's all there for them if they win Friday. And for Skubal, he's obsessed about what happened last year in game five. Like they highlighted that in the first playoff game this year against Cleveland. He has gone back and rewatched game five
multiple times.
Yeah. And he gets a do-over. Like this doesn't happen all that often in life or sports where they're going to create essentially the same scenario where you're taking the ball on the road game five to get your team to the ALCS. You can make amends for the grand slam and put your team in the next round.
And you, we've talked about this, especially with pitchers all the time and your stud hitters, you're going to be known for what you do in the postseason. You will be remembered. And obviously he will be remembered for, you know, last year's Cy Young, if he wins it again this year and whatever happens in the future, like that's all going to be a part of the story. But how many times have we talked about guys that have had great regular seasons, but they can't come through in the clutch?
Well, and I'll give you the other comparison. So Skubal's doing stuff we haven't seen since Verlander, right? Like borderline MVP, multiple Cy Youngs. JV had some big ALDS game five. Remember, it was Oakland, I think, was one of them.
I think.
Yeah, multiple times. So this is you want to be the dominant bulldog. You want to be in the mold a la JV, the best since JV, maybe better than JV. This is the spot you do it. Yeah.
But that with JV had to learn at times, I can't blow everybody away. Yeah. And Skubal kind of did that last year. He's got to be more strategic in this. That meant maybe crafty was the wrong word earlier. Strategic in how he makes his pitch selections.
Well, I think that's crafty is the right word because at some point you become a veteran for this. And you know, like what have you learned about what's worked for you? What didn't work? And in what moments didn't it work? And now all of a sudden you learn from those moments. And that's what should make him great.
Let's get some phone calls in. Tom in Rochester, you're on 97.1.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call again. See, I called yesterday, had the hot take about all the negative calls and people complaining about the Tigers. Condolences to the Yankees. And a great job to the Tigers yesterday and a great game, great atmosphere. I was there at the game yesterday, and as you guys are saying, it all lines up. It's funny because I'm going to Michigan State tomorrow to visit my son and niece for a homecoming weekend. And we're hoping after the Tigers game that the Yankees lose, so the Tigers will be playing at 8 o'clock so we could be up there in time to watch the game with all them. We were at the game yesterday. It was unreal. Top three game at Comerica Park for me. Was at the Kenny Rogers World Series win. Was at the Ordóñez game. And this was amazing. It was just something about, it was weird after they, when they pulled Mize, everybody was wondering why they pulled him. And then when they only let up one run, the bases loaded, it was weird. Like, you think when they would let up a run that people would be upset, but being that they only let up one run, people were like, okay, hold on, we got a chance here.
Yeah. And then still in the game.
Fifth inning. Yeah, and then the fifth inning, people, it was just, it was awesome. Just great atmosphere. Looking forward to Friday.
It's, you're right. The atmosphere was something else. And that was kind of what we were trying to say yesterday, was it, the crowd wants to roar. The crowd is there ready to see their team deliver. And as soon as they got a glimmer, that crowd was in it. That third inning, brick by brick, at bat by at bat. Tie ball game.
Oh, yeah.
And then away we go. Riley Green, Javier Baez, Gleyber Torres in the seventh. Like, they scored in the fifth, sixth, and seventh inning. For an offense that we've been complaining about that hasn't scored enough, it was like the floodgates opened. And that's happened for them now in key games. To beat Cleveland, to stay alive and force a game five. Got to do it again in an elimination spot on Friday night. 248-539-9797, talking about the best moments from that game and your outlook for game five. Has everything shifted where you expect Detroit to win this series? It's 97-1.
Hey, every law firm talks about experience. David Feminino has decades of it, going up against insurance companies and winning for his clients. But here's what makes him different. He knows the only experience that really matters is yours. When you're in a car accident, you care about your well-being. You want someone who's going to listen to you, someone who's going to work hard for you, and someone that will get you paid. David gets that. Your experience matters. And when he fights for you, not for his resume. If you've been injured, call 855-65-CRASH or visit him on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Hey, it's Rico Beard. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, but also a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Catch the full episode, listen to individual hours, or just jump straight to the highlights. Open up your favorite podcast app, search for Valeni Show with Rico, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way on your time.
Sure was. 97-1. Good morning. We're staring down game five of the ALDS, and we're feeling good about it. What a difference 24 hours makes. Suddenly, Seattle is on the brink of blowing it. Seattle was up 2-1. Seattle had a 3-0 lead. Now they got a date with Tarek Skubal and anxiety. Have fun.
Yes, major anxiety. Everybody's going to have anxiety. We'll have anxiety.
Oh, we will.
Just at a different temperature.
But we expect the Tigers to win. Think about it now. Detroit has made it so tough on themselves and their fans because the offense has been brutal. But it's been there in elimination spots. Game three and yesterday. Game three of the wild card round and yesterday. You give Skubal a little offense. You put the pressure on Seattle. You get another opportunity for Kerry Carpenter against George Kirby. Advantage Tigers. John, we talked about it yesterday. Find a way to win game four.
Yeah.
You have the edge in game five. Are Tiger fans feeling good about this series? Which is wild where we were a day ago.
Well, and we were, I think, I don't want to speak for all Tigers fans because there are some out there that thought, you know, the 9-run outburst was possible. This is the playoffs. I think we kind of felt like if we were going to win that game, it was going to be another 3-2 win. Or a 4-3 type of win. Maybe 4-2. Like, it wasn't going to be this. And now all of a sudden you're coming off the heels of, oh, that was a 9-run explosion. It's just it if you're going into a Skubal start off of a 3-2 win, you're probably sitting there going, well, boy, we're just as much as we're struggling to score runs, so are they.
Right.
And is this going to be a Skubal 2-1 win? Or, you know, are they going to be able to give run support? Now everybody's looking at it going, hey, we found the bats. Because it wasn't just one inning. It was back-to-back innings. And back-to-back innings. There was another add-on couple of runs at the end of the game.
Fifth, sixth, seventh, and some. Not one little blip. but sustainable. That's what you're thinking, right? Is if this is what they do in their backs against the wall, they can give Scooble just enough for Detroit to go to Seattle and pull off the win. In a lot of ways, John, this is last year in reverse. Remember last year, the Tigers won game three against Cleveland and lost 4-5. You got a chance to flip the script from last year. Scooble has a chance to flip the script from last year. He'll get the ball in game five again, and he has fixated and motivated himself based on what happened last year. He gets a do-over. Rare that you get one of these. He gets a do-over. Let's get to the phones. Let's go to Kiki. You're on 97.1.
Hey, I'm just, I don't know. I'm kind of sick of the negativity from some of the fans, not all the fans. Specifically, I guess I'm curious, some of these people calling in with complaints about the Tigers, it makes me feel like they're either fair weather fans, maybe they just started watching at the end of the season when they had their little slump, or they just don't really understand baseball.
Well, Kiki, I mean, we haven't had a whole lot of those calls. We had one that I didn't understand, that, you know, the Tigers don't deserve to win this series. That blew my mind.
Yeah. Again, I think that's like maybe don't really understand baseball. Obviously, you know, the 160 games to get there is for a reason, and we're definitely proving ourselves over and over. We're doing it when it counts, and I think our Tiger team—they're a great bunch of guys. They feel the energy, whether it's positive or negative, and we got to be there for them.
Yeah, Kiki, where are you watching the game tomorrow night?
Oh, I'll be home tomorrow night. I was there yesterday with my son. We were a little disappointed at the beginning, the low energy of the fans. You know, a few of us were in it from the beginning. Obviously, it like burst into like one of the best games ever to be at. We fans definitely made up for it. I hope our guys felt that. But I will be home watching comfortably.
All right.
There you go. Feeling a little more comfortable with this baseball team right now.
Yeah. Where are you going to watch the game tomorrow night?
At home.
Yeah?
Yeah. On the couch. Locked
with
in.
With no food.
What do you mean?
Are you allowed to have food on the couch now?
That rule's changed. That
rule's
changed.
Has? Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was just when we first got the couch. I didn't want to. Stains it. And then
Yeah, it's like vacuuming out the car every day when you get a new car. And then eventually it just looks like not vacuumed out.
No, we've had the couch for over a year. You'd have to be.
Stains all over the place.
Couch police. Eventually, you just got to let it go. When you get something new, you want to keep it nice. That's all it was.
Yep.
Let's get to Heather with the news. You never forget, and you never miss a chance.
Oh, no, I'm like an elephant.
Oh, gosh, this news is brought to you by Randazzo Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You guys, an East Point man is facing a slew of felony charges after he allegedly tried to stab a police officer with a screwdriver after being busted for shoplifting from a Walmart. So it happened on Sunday. Police in Sterling Heights were called to the Walmart on Van Dyke Avenue after employees called and said, hey, somebody just left without paying for all this merchandise. When police arrived, this guy, Joshua Mills, ran off. Police had to use a taser. So when this guy was on the ground, he sat up and then attempted to stab an officer in the face and almost did so. They say just narrowly missed stabbing the officer. So then there was another physical altercation. But anyway, he was taken into custody. The 2026 Detroit Auto Show, just a couple months away, actually. And on Wednesday, Auto Show officials announced that Robin Thicke will be performing at the charity preview. They also announced some other performers as well. This will take place on Friday, January 16th, of course, ahead of like the public opening of the show. Detroit rapper Trick Trick will also perform along with DJ Remarkable. Jalen Rose will serve as the master of ceremonies for the event. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has unveiled its list of performers and presenters for its 2025 ceremony, and the White Stripes could be inducted into the hall by a fellow Michigan rock and roll legend.
Oh.
Iggy Pop is on the list. And while the Rock Hall hasn't like specifically paired anybody up together, you could maybe just make the assumption that Iggy Pop will be there to either induct or perform for the Detroit duo.
No, don't do this again.
That's so awesome.
Let's see. The NCAA moved one step closer on Wednesday to allowing athletes and athletic department members to bet on professional sports. So the Division I Administrative Committee approved the change, which now still must be approved by the Division II and III before it can go into effect. But they say that's going to happen like end of October. Those meetings will take place. And if approved, the rule would go into effect November 1st. Of course, betting on college sports would still remain off limits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's pros can do it now. And I mean, it's not legal in every state, but this is something, I mean, it kind of seems like it's the next step. And I know it may put some of those student athletes at some point in a compromising situation, but they are, I mean, hey, they're making money. They're doing a lot of things that nobody ever thought they would do. So this is just, I think, the next step.
Yep. Dolly Parton wants to put fans at ease, and she's letting everyone know that she is not dying after her sister had asked for prayers. So Dolly posted this video. She was on set of an upcoming commercial where she basically said she ain't done working yet.
I love hearing her voice.
I know. Yeah. Her rep also said that she is fine. She's been dealing with kidney stones, it sounds like.
Ouch.
And her sister did kind of clarify things like, I didn't mean to scare you. It's just, she's just concerned about her sister.
Right. Yeah.
So she's doing okay. Finally, you guys, a Florida man was arrested the other day. And when cops booked him into jail, they found the largest item they've ever seen in someone's rear end.
Oh.
Or as the local sheriff put it, his exit ramp.
His exit ramp. All right. So what was in the exit ramp?
A thermos.
A thermos.
Oh, a thermos. No. They thought, oh, he's probably storing drugs or, you know, a weapon in this thermos. And it was literally just a thermos. Apparently, it had been there for about 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
They took him to the hospital where a specialist had to remove it. And officials say that, yeah, you probably would have died if that thermos stayed in there any longer.
I mean, there's so many questions.
Yeah.
How?
Why?
Why? Ouch.
Yeah.
And so for 24 hours.
I know.
Would you be able to stand up? Would you be able to sit down?
Well, I mean, it sounds like he was running away from the officers when they showed up. So somebody reported him being naked in a public bathroom.
And he was
cop showed up and
waddling away.
He was fully clothed by the time cops showed up. And then apparently he like wandered off and was threatening the police. So they arrested him. And
that's a lot of clenching.
Found it. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I know.
No kidding. Heather with the news.
Florida guys.
We have Dear John next. I'll just tell you ahead of time. No one has that situation.
A thermos, yeah.
John, there's
Thank
a thermos
goodness.
In my butt. Help me out. No, nobody has that. Nobody's asking for your advice on that. That should never happen. What is that story? Dear John next, 97.1.
Hey, America's favorite place to watch football, sit down, stand up, however you want, is at Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino, catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. You can chill at one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot-tall high-definition screen located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas, and it's right there on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
All right. Questions for John from you guys. It's Dear John. You can send him in at DearJohnJansen@gmail.com.
Little teaser?
Yeah, you've got Halloween candy, long distance, mm-hmm. random dudes.
Oh, boy.
And wants to be a writer.
Okay.
We're going to start with the Halloween candy. Dear John, my wife and I went on a weight loss journey together and lost a combined 125 pounds.
Oh, hey, way to go.
Yeah, we've modeled good habits for our kids, too, by not buying any junk food and candy. And this Halloween, my wife is taking it too far. She doesn't want to give out candy, which is ridiculous. She's proposed apples, healthy low-fat sugar, fruit snacks, low-fat pretzels. No kid wants that, and we've been fighting about it. Should I just go ahead and buy a bag of candy to hand out anyway?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Don't be that house. An apple in your... A little kid comes up there and says trick-or-treat, and a little, you know, pumpkin, and you throw an apple in there.
It's the worst.
It is the worst. We make fun of my mom all the time, and I think I've shared this story before. Being a school teacher, she would give out pencils.
I knew you were going to say that.
And, you know, it's just, it's first of all, it's embarrassing. If you have kids, and yes, I understand you want to model great behavior for your kids. This is... one day a year. It's not about you. It's about the moment.
And you can still remain on your diet.
Yeah,
with
you don't
you
have
your
to
family.
Eat the candy.
That's fine, but don't put it onto other families right. And other little kids.
And
they're
if
not
you
on
can't
a diet.
Be, obviously, you have shown tremendous discipline.
Yeah.
Between the two of you, I mean, and who knows what the percentages are on either side, but if you've lost over 120 pounds as a couple, hey, hats off to you. Not easy to do. And you've shown great discipline. You can have discipline for one night. You are not ruining the youth of America by handing out candy on one night.
Those pennies. You remember getting pennies?
Oh, yeah.
Awful. Dude, your wife's wrong. You're right. Hand out candy.
Yeah.
It's Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween.
And
by
the
way,
feel free to have one. Yeah. Get the best ones that you can find and enjoy a cheat night.
And that's the key. You can't like deprive yourself of all the good things that you want to eat in life. It's about moderation.
And you develop a reputation in the neighborhood. Trust me, you don't want that reputation.
Kids will skip your house next year.
Yeah. Maybe that's what they're after.
Oh, okay. This next one says, Dear John, I'm currently in a long distance relationship with a woman I, air quotes, met online.
Oh.
She lives in Europe. We've never met in real life. I'm 33. She's 25, so there's a small but not insignificant age gap. Despite speaking for 8 months now, we have not met, and she says she's not ready to meet.
Is there a picture?
There's more, John. We've planned to meet in December, but I'm starting to feel like she'll get flaky. Should I be patient or let it fizzle? Here is context for questions I know will be asked on the radio. One, she's very hot. I'd say I'm a 5 and she's a 9 at least. In that sense, I'm punching up above my weight class. Second point, she's everything I've ever wanted in a woman. Funny, beautiful, mature, smart, supportive, understanding. Point three, we've tried to meet in the past, but she's gotten anxious and overwhelmed. And number four, she's inexperienced in the dating world, only one previous ex. That said, she told me she loves me. John, what do I do?
Move on, find a life, find something local that you can, someone that you can see. And we're you know, all of us that were fives and punched above our weight class, it's possible. So I don't want to tell you it's not possible, but I mean, use your brain.
He's being
You're
catfished.
Getting catfished. Yeah. There's no question about it. I mean, so she's got a great sense of humor. All right, yeah, there's a lot of 49-year-old dudes that got a great sense of humor.
If you haven't met in 8 months.
Has there been a video chat? Even that could be suspicious, but have you like done a video call?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
really
a video call, does she have
to?
An Adam's apple?
John, it doesn't. We don't have any information.
Is it AI?
I don't know. You have to be more skeptical than this.
She lives in Europe?
She goes to another school. You wouldn't know her.
She's a 9?
Yeah, she's a 9. She's in Europe. She's got a European accent. Oh,
she's
yeah.
a 9, but she won't meet you. She's anxious to meet you.
Yeah. No. Move on.
Aww.
Just,
we
I'm
hate
sorry.
To tell them, but...
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's... No.
No. You're being
catfished. That is a textbook.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, next one. Random dudes. Dear John, I live with another girl in a 2-bedroom apartment and we generally get along well. We met through a college alumni page looking for roommates and are around the same age. I'm 26 and she's 24. The issue is she's bringing home a different dude almost every week. And while it's not my business, it is my house and I don't like random people who I don't know staying over, especially without notice. How should I handle it?
Does it say how long the lease is for?
It does not.
All right. So obviously you can't control your roommate. You already made the decision that you're living together. There's not a whole lot you could do. You can have a conversation and say, this is making me uncomfortable.
Sure.
But then she'll probably say, well, I'm paying just as much rent as you are. I have a right to live my life. And yeah, so you're probably not. I would just raise the concern and see what they have to say. If they're like, hey, you know what? I don't care about your concerns, then find a different place to live and see what the exit cost is for getting out of your lease. And if it's too much, you're just going to have to wait it out. And when that time comes, you're gone.
Yeah. I mean, unless these guys, they're not dangerous. You just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But you don't get to tell her she can't bring people over.
I mean, right. It could be awkward.
Sure.
I mean, she's living there too. Are they using the bathroom? Is she going to encounter them
in the kitchen or something?
Yeah.
I mean, so if you feel that unsafe and you can't get out of it, then, you know, put an interior lock on your door.
Sure.
That might at least help you sleep a little bit better, but you're still going to walk out some random dude that's, mm-hmm. you know, warming up last night's pizza.
You definitely just need to have a conversation with your roommate. I mean, I think it's a normal conversation that maybe should have happened before you allowed her to stay in your place, but...
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
well, how do you handle friends? Whether it's friends or random dudes coming over, how are you going to handle that?
Unless you've like pre-established rules, like hey, no strangers unless approved. Like,
I mean, they're 26 and 24; they're not children,
right?
They're grown adults.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This last one says wants to be a writer. Dear John, I've always wanted to be a writer, sci-fi, crime thrillers, and I was thinking of writing a novel, but I'm not sure anyone would want to read it. Would it be a waste of time? And is there any way to do it in a productive way?
Wow. No, it's not a waste of time. Go ahead and write your, you know, little heart's desire. And if you want to have somebody proofread it, have a close friend, a relative, somebody read it that they're going to give you some honest feedback and it may actually be good.
Send it my way. If it's a sci-fi, I'll pass. But if it's a crime thriller, I'll proofread it.
Yeah.
I love a good crime thriller.
Yeah, give me the audiobook version of it and
I'll tell you
what it is. But
write the book.
Write the book.
Absolutely write the book. And it may be terrible.
Right.
All right. So who cares? Right. If it's terrible and you let somebody read it and they tell you, well, you know, it's probably not your best thing that you do. So what? Keep writing. You never know. Maybe you get better.
Well, and at the end of the day, like, it's a hobby that you enjoy. It doesn't have to turn in. You don't have to become a bestseller for it to be worth your time if you enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
To hell with it. If anybody reads it, I know you want them to, but just do it for you.
Yeah. I like to tie flies for fishing and they suck. All right. And I'm not going to give them to my friends. I won't probably use them myself, but it is one way where I get a chance to remove myself from everything in the world and focus on one thing. And it may not be a beautiful thing, but it's something that I enjoy doing. And maybe someday I'll get good at it.
That's Dear John. You can send him in every week. DearJohnJansen@gmail.com. It's 97.1.
Hey, every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Take a look at the calendar. Oh, yep. Today's Thursday. Because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each and every week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you're going to win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. All you have to do is visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to take a shot at the jackpot. And tonight is your night. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for a chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in is required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as now in trouble bonus bets that expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we will see you in Seattle Friday night, 8 o'clock. It's going to be a pitching matchup of Tarek Skubal and George Kirby. It's brought to you by Old National Bank. John, that pitching matchup is a huge advantage for Detroit. It's Skubal, and Kirby struggles with Kerry Carpenter. So if Kerry gives you one good swing that third time through the order, might be enough for Tarek Skubal to put the wind at his back and take care of business.
Yeah. And I mean, we've thought that three times.
But this wasn't the matchup game one. Kirby threw game one.
No, I know.
And Scooble threw game two.
If you're just simply talking pitching matchup, but I'm just talking lineup versus pitching. We've thought that three times. Oh, Scooble start. And it hasn't come to fruition. Now, it's not been necessarily because Scooble hasn't pitched well. There just hasn't been any run support.
So, yeah, I don't think you can just do, hey, Scooble's pitching, auto win.
Right.
Because it hasn't been. It wasn't in this series. And I was talking to Evan Jenkins out there off air, and he was like, yeah, you got to give me more of a reason than just Scooble's throwing. And that's why I bring up the fact that you get Kerry Carpenter against George Kirby. Or they're going to have to yank their starter early.
Mm-hmm.
And I also point to the Tigers' ability backed against the wall yesterday and game three against Cleveland. That this team has shown fight. While it can be depressing and debilitating and torturous at times to watch them at the plate, they have come through in big spots in the postseason. Seattle famously hasn't, and it's at their place. And the weight of the world is on them. They blew a 2-1 lead. They blew a 3-0 lead in the game yesterday. It's on them, man. You're going to let all these people down? Look at 47,000 sad Seattle fans. You're going to let all these people down? You feel the weight of that. That's on them, not on us.
It is. And the Tigers are going into this game, and they should feel very confident. No matter what happened in games 1, 2, and 3, it's the last time they were at the plate, the last time these two teams were faced up against each other. Plus, you have the person that we believe is the best pitcher in the American League.
Yeah, I don't think there's really much of an argument. He should win back-to-back Cy Young. Let's get some phone calls in. Then we got some ticket texts on the cookie, or not the cookie jar, Dear John. Cookie jar will be tomorrow. Yeah. Let's get to Kathy in Belleville. Kathy, what's going on? You're on 97.1.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I'm going down memory lane when there was only the East and the West, and our magic number was 9. Toronto was in second place. My mom, my aunt, and I took a Amtrak up to Toronto. We swept the Tigers. We had our brooms on the train driving back, and what a wild time. And this just gives me that vibes. And now that the Yankees have got rid of, or Toronto got rid of the Yankees, I'm hoping that we have another series with Toronto with the same outcome, because mom's gone and I wish she was here to see these Tigers. She would be so happy.
I'm sure she would. She's probably looking down right now saying, yeah, it's lining up.
Let's get to Eric. You're next up. You're on 97.1.
Okay, guys. I was really, really excited after last night's game, or yesterday's game. Obviously, I think all of us were. And like everyone else, I'm looking awesome. Game 5, we're going to go to Seattle. We got our ace, Turk Scooble, pitching. And I don't care what Seattle's done, you know, to him in the past. But then I got this weird, like, feeling in my stomach, and I'm like, gosh, this feels very familiar. And it took me back to last year, 2024, where we had in the divisional series, game 5, going to Cleveland, and we got our ace on the mound, and we lost 7-3. Now, the biggest difference, obviously, we lost game 4 last year, so we didn't have momentum. Cleveland had momentum. Outside of that, we were right here. Same time, same channel, this time last year with Cleveland. Please tell me that this is different year. And I realize it's not your job, but I just wanted to have some reason for...
Well, Eric, it does feel like the shoe is on the other foot, right? Detroit was up 2-1 last year and lost 4-5. Well, Seattle was up 2-1, and now Detroit's in the spoiler spot.
Exactly, except for the opposite would be if we were coming, you know, this happened in Seattle.
Yeah,
coming
I know.
To Detroit.
It's not a perfect. It's not a perfect like opposite of last year. But in a lot of ways, this year has been the opposite of last year. Last year's Tigers roared into the playoffs. This year's Tigers limped into the playoffs. You've reached the same point, and now you get to see: do we continue this like opposite, where instead of being bounced in game 5, Scooble throws the gem, they hit for him, and they advance.
So here's maybe this is what it is. I think, you know, hate to say baseball gods. I think, you know, Tigers, the rally that they made, you know, from August, whatever, to get in was unbelievable. You know, it's the exact opposite this year. So hopefully we're exercising a whole lot of demons. One would be, you know, Tarik Skubal against Seattle this year. The other would be, you know, what happened last year. I just needed some some optimism, because that really kind of like gave me like a
Yeah, we'll make sure we give you some optimism.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.